This is Generations Friends, Kevin Swanson with you today, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor, but the reason I'm here, I'm a father of five, and we're looking at the world, we're looking at the future through the eyes of fathers and through the eyes of a biblical worldview, and we're trying to bring back both a standard for absolute truth and relationships to a lost and lonely world. Just a couple of dads in studio doing just that. Dave Buhner with me today. And as we look at the news, here's what's happening, folks. And talking about the future, we could very well have the most tyrannical candidate elected as president of the United States, the man who believes in the most government, the most socialist, the most in favor of redistribution of the wealth, the candidate who is most committed to infanticide, as he proved in the Illinois legislature when he again and again and again opposed an anti-infanticide bill that was attempted in that state. Well, of course, I'm speaking of Barack Obama.
I thought you were talking about John McCain.
No, I'm talking about Barack Obama. I'm just talking about Barack Obama, Dave. And he is the most tyrannical candidate and the most pro-infanticide candidate, also happens to be the most popular candidate for president of the United States. And what does that say about our country? Not much. But, you know, Dave, a lot of people think it's democracy that rules. I think it's more an oligarchy and ultimately the sovereignty of God. But, you know, there's a very few number of people who teach in universities and teach people how to teach and how to think and establish the worldviews in the universities across the nation, and a few media people. And those media sources, the largest media sources, are owned by just a few people. And these people are the ones who set the opinions of the nation, period. It's always an oligarchy that rules the nation. But anyway, Barack Obama appears to be the front-running candidate. Well, maybe John McCain, maybe neck and neck at this point. But Barack Obama also came back and said he would support his daughter's abortion. I mean, in fact, he would be excited about that if his daughter happened to get pregnant. Here's the quote, by the way, completely stuttering and stammering. Here's the quote. When it comes specifically to HIV/AIDS, the most important prevention and education, which should include abstinence education and teaching children, you know, that sex is not something casual, he said. But it should also include other, you know, information about contraception, because, look, I've got two daughters, 9 years old and 6 years old. I'm going to teach them, first of all, about values and morals. But if they make a mistake, I don't want them punished with a baby, which I guess would be his
values and morals.
Yeah, in that case. Ouch. Ouch. I would teach them values and morals. But if they make a mistake, which is not a sin, because there is no absolutes in a world of total chance, then they fornicate and stuff. I would just go ahead and slaughter the baby.
But you,
because that's my value. That's my moral. whatever.
You wouldn't want to punish them with a baby.
Yeah, that would be immoral.
That's not part of their values.
I guess not. And this guy's going to be president of the United States. President Obama. President Hussein. Do you call him Hussein? Do we still call him Hussein?
I think he prefers Barry now.
Oh, okay. President Hussein. Is this guy pro-Muslim?
Well, it's maybe too early to tell. We know he was raised in a Muslim school. We know he was taught the Quran.
His pastor didn't like Jews very much, from
no,
what I've heard.
His pastor likes Farrakhan.
Yeah, who doesn't like Jews?
Is
that right?
Who is some sort of kind of Islam. So it's he claims he's not Islamic, but he seems to support the tenets of Islam. So it's too early to tell right now. I think he's sort of a conglomeration of Islam and black liberation theology and pure out Marxist.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, scares the living daylights out of some of us. President Barack Hussein Obama. Somehow that doesn't sound right for the United States of America. We'll see. In just a moment, we're going to talk about honoring a president like Obama. That's next on Generations. This is Kevin Swanson. Hang in there.
With literacy rates falling and American schools approaching third world nation status in math and science, parents everywhere are concerned, and they're getting involved. That's why tens of thousands of families across the state of Colorado have turned to home education. For over 20 years, Christian Home Educators of Colorado has hosted an annual conference designed to encourage and inspire families anywhere along the path, from beginners to veteran homeschoolers. Throughout the year, they offer special introductory seminars, retreats, graduations, a news magazine, and a satellite school to aid in the required record keeping. CHECK also offers a bookstore complete with the best resources, tapes, and curriculum, all of which has been carefully chosen to equip and supplement your homeschool program. To learn more about CHECK, visit their website at chec.org.
And we're back on Generations, my friends, talking about a potential President Obama. And he is the most popular candidate. I cannot believe the man's popularity. He's not a great speaker. I just read his statement. So much stammering and stuttering that, you know, this guy doesn't know how to talk. However, he's very, very popular. And I think he's bold and he is shameless with his position. I mean, you heard what he said about his daughters. If they got a baby out of wedlock, they'd slaughter that thing in a moment. They wouldn't think twice about it. And I don't think we've had a president say that since the beginning of this nation.
Well, it's very consistent with Senator Obama's positions. Senator Obama, very pro-infanticide. Senator Obama thinks that we might even have to have euthanasia for children who are born with disabilities and things. He is a very anti-life candidate.
Now, this is not the first time you've had a huge candidate, a popular candidate, be pro-infanticide. King Herod was the same way, Dave, way back in the beginning of Jesus' birth. And what you have there is a man who was extremely popular. He built the temple, built a lot of big cities, big, you know, coliseums, et cetera, et cetera. He established the city of man, and everybody's very impressed with all these things he did. But, of course, he killed his own, you know, his own children. In this case, Barack Obama would be happy to kill his own grandkids. But he killed his own sons. This is the way Herod was. And when it came down to slaughtering all the kids 2 years old and under in the town of Bethlehem, Herod didn't think twice about it, just did it. And this is precisely what we're seeing with Barack Obama. So again, guys, popular candidates, popular tyrants have always existed. Come on, Hitler was the same way. So, you know, how does a guy like this get elected? He's just popular because he's bold and shameless in what he says. People love this stuff, Dave. They love this stuff.
Well, I think you're right. I think Barack is representing America that loves killing children, that doesn't really love children to begin with. Let's face it, America doesn't love their children. They send them off to a box school. They kill many of them. They create programs so they don't have to love them. They get really huge houses so they can bury them in their room behind a computer screen and not have to talk to them. This is what Barack Obama represents. He represents, I think, America's true disposition towards children. They don't like them.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, today we want to talk about how to respect, how to honor a man like President Hussein Obama. How would you respect a man like this? And then we're going to look at the broader subject of honor. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother, that it may go well with you in the land. And that is a command that we ought to take very seriously. Now, note, first of all, that the command does not refer directly to honoring the civil magistrate. And yet, in Romans 13, you have a command to honor those to whom honor is due, and to pay taxes to whom taxes are due, etc., etc. So there is a certain honor that's required of the civil magistrate. You also find in 1 Peter or 1 Timothy that we're required to pray for the civil magistrate that we would live peaceful lives and would not be tyrannized by people like President Obama. So one of the parts of honoring, I believe, is to pray that the tyrants would not tyrannize as badly as they could. So that's one particular way that we would do it. Now, Jesus does not particularly honor Herod when he says, go tell that fox this or that. In other words, he refers to Herod as a fox, a deceitful man, and he warns people against the Herodians, those that were really backing Herod. And, Dave, I think there were reasons why he did that. He wanted to protect them from the ideas and the institutions of this man. This man had established a way of life for many Jews that Jesus did not command. And therefore, I think it's important sometimes that we warn people against the ideas and the policies of men like Barack Hussein Obama.
And if you think of John the Baptist said some very dishonorable things about the scribes and the elders and the Pharisees, in fact, calling them a brood of vipers. That's not really what we'd call honor talk to those who were in ecclesiastical authority. So there appears to be ways in which you can speak the truth, and it's not always what we would consider flattering talk.
Yeah. Now, we can honor the president of the United States, even if he's pro-infanticide, when not in his pro-infanticide position. In other words, if he's saying it's okay to kill little babies right up to the point they poke their head out of the womb, or they're out of the womb and they're struggling, trying to gain some life on the table in the surgery room, just leave them there to die. If he says something like that, we don't honor him in that position. Nevertheless, if he says it's still wrong to murder somebody who's 1 year old up to 95 years old, Dave, I think we should honor that particular position he takes. In other words, if he says it's murder if you kill somebody 1 to 95 years of age, and I'm telling you not to do it, I'd say go ahead and obey him and submit to him on that particular position. So again, there's areas in which we can submit to the civil magistrate, even though they may be quite evil in many of their positions. Here's another question people ask me from time to time, Dave. You know, if the President of the United States tells you to turn over 75% of your money to the government for euthanasia and infanticide programs, what should you do? And he's got a gun to your back, and he says, you give me that money. Well, I think, Dave, we do the very same thing we do when a thief in the road comes up and sticks a gun in the back and says, give me money so I can go buy drugs. At some point, the preservation of your life and your family is important enough that you turn it over to the guys trying to rip you off. And same thing applies to the Internal Revenue Service that works for the President of the United States.
Well, it's very important that in Romans 13 that God says that the civil magistrate is God's ministers for you for good. But what's good? I mean, God declares what's good. If they become a minister for evil and not good, then they're not fulfilling their function. And I think that's a very important distinction, that the people in the scriptures who are saying these things that don't sound like honor or are baying on some civil disobedience, they're only doing it when the civil magistrate is doing evil, not when it is doing good according to God's law.
Yeah, so you ought to obey the civil magistrate when they're doing what is good. And when they stick a gun to your back and they force you to pay, you know, onerous levels of taxes to produce incredibly evil programs, I think you're going to have to do it. Now, here is the reason. The reason is because you're not implicitly or explicitly endorsing their particular behavior. In other words, they've got the gun to your back. Every opportunity that you have, you oppose their particular evil system by the voting booth, by, you know, radio programs like this one, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you are opposing them. So you're making every motion you possibly can to oppose what is evil about the agenda. But at the same time, there's nothing you can do about what they do with your taxes. So that's why I think it's appropriate to pay your taxes. There's nothing else you can do. Jesus is an example of that. He paid the temple tax, even though he didn't agree with everything that was going on in Herod's temple. He still paid the tax. And we can do the very same thing, and while at the same time issuing all of our anathemas and our warnings against the system, as Jesus did in Matthew chapter 23. So, again, the point is, folks, that you can eat the food offered to idols that happens to be sold in the marketplace. However, if someone's looking at you and saying, are you explicitly endorsing the idolatry in these temples, then you need to say right away, absolutely not. I don't support the idolatry of it, but I'm part of this system, and I'm going to play in the system, at the same time not explicitly or implicitly endorsing the evil of the system. Dave, the same thing applies to questions like, would you pick up hookers as a taxi driver and take them to hotels? A lot of it depends on your knowledge and your support and your implicit support of what they're doing. Or would you work on the Tower of Babel program, you know, or would you sell lunches to people rebuilding the Tower of Babel? Well, you know, you're part of that economic system. I mean, you might not be in favor of what they're doing as Nimrod builds his big tower and, you know, to God's displeasure. But at the same time, this is the economy happening in Babylon at this time. So you're probably going to have to play within the system. But at the same time, be very careful that you do everything you can to let people know that you don't implicitly or explicitly endorse what is going on in this evil program.
And if you're going to feed the people building the tower, by all means, do a good job. Do it to the glory of God. So at least if the tower doesn't honor God, lunchtime does.
All right, let's shift the program now over to the issue of honoring fathers and mothers. Because, Dave, I think this is even more fundamental than honoring somebody like President Barack Obama. Because, you know, I get a lot of stories. And whenever I stand up and talk about how important honor is, and we're trying to bring back honor in the modern day, because a lot of kids aren't honoring their fathers and mothers and therefore don't know how to honor their managers or their church leaders or their leaders in the civil magistrate. And so you have a rebellious people. And we really want to revive this concept of honoring mothers and fathers, that it would go well with us and that it would be a blessing to us. And yet people almost always come back to me and say, you know, Kevin, you don't know my father. You don't know my mother. I mean, the kinds of things that they did, and sometimes they'll list the things that they did, and they'll say, you know, and I always come back and say, you know, I'm standing on my father's shoulders, and that puts me 11 feet off the ground. I say, praise be to God that I have a father, and I can honor my father's theology, my father's practical applications of God's law, my father's character, you know, the good things about my father. My father's a wonderful man, and granted he made some mistakes, but I want to honor my father for the positive things that he produced in me. And they'll come back and say, but you don't know my father. My father was a drug addict. He's in prison today, et cetera, et cetera. I tell them, you know what? If your father is flat on the ground, you get up on his shoulders, you're 6 inches off the ground, man. And you honor your father for what he did do for you. I mean, you think about the wonderful things that he did for you. I always bring up the example of David and Saul. David was, you know, his father-in-law had a contract out on his life, Dave. I mean, that's a bad father, okay? All right, and to date, I have not run into somebody whose father had a contract out on his life, okay, to date. You know, all the whining about, oh, my father did this, my father did that. I've never heard somebody say, my father had a contract out on his life. But David did have a contract out on his own life at the hands of his father-in-law, Saul. But David is always honoring. Just read the whole story, the last few chapters of 1 Samuel and the first chapter of 2 Samuel. At the end of his life, David looks at Saul, who had just died. And David says, oh, how the mighty in Israel have fallen. He didn't have a single negative thing to say about this man who had a contract out on his life. Dave, this is instructive. David is a great example of a man who honored his father all the way to the end. Despite the fact that Saul was so incredibly evil to him, he threw a javelin at him. This was honor. He paid him the honor due him. And there's so many Christian kids out there, and they say their parents are losers. And a lot of times, yeah, their parents got divorced, okay? Yeah, they had bad parents. And guess what? It probably happened 45 to 50% of Christian parenting in the 1970s, 1980s, 1990s. Because Christianity has fallen apart in more ways than one. I know that. That's what we say all the time in this program. Okay, so you had some parents who are sort of losers. All right, well, what happens, Dave, is they always throw the baby out with the bathwater. Even the good things. Even the good things. They throw out everything their parents taught them. You know, they just say, okay, I'm going to dishonor everything. Rather than covering the evil, covering the sinful things that their parents did, as Shem and Japheth did to Noah. Remember, Noah was drunk and naked in the bed. Shem and Japheth went backwards and sort of covered their father there. They didn't want to display that to the world. They were very honoring to their father. Well, a lot of these kids, they gossip about their parents constantly. They don't cover up their parents' sin, and then they reject even the good things that their parents did for them. And a lot of these guys become really influential in the dishonor of their own parents, and that's when it gets really scary, Dave, because you know what? They're dishonoring even the good things their parents gave them as Christians, and the result is catastrophic. I'll tell you what, when I run into young men who are writing books in Christian literature and trying to influence the Christian world, and yet they don't honor their parents. That's really scary. I don't want those guys anywhere near the Church of Christ.
Kevin, there's a flip side to honor. Honor is positively commanded. And the opposite, which is a form of bitterness, I am absolutely convinced that when you hold the sins of your father and you keep reflecting on them, that is bitterness, by which many are defiled, by which civilizations are defiled, which families and nations are defiled. This is what's happening. We have bitterness towards the sins of our parents. And Jesus said, you know what? by that very standard that you're going to hold them to? That's the very standard that you're going to be judged by. You didn't honor your parents. What do you think your children are going to do? Are they going to honor you? Absolutely not. You have taught them dishonor. So on the one hand, we have bitterness, but we have a positive command to honor. And the example of that, the perfect example of that is in Christ, as he honors his Father. He always speaks. Now God the Father is sinless and is perfectly holy. Okay, we understand that. We understand that your Father is a man born in sin, a man who sinned, just like you. You have inherited your Father's sin. But if you don't find ways to positively honor him, even if it was just God's way of giving you life in the body, then you are disobeying the law of God, and you are, in fact, disobeying the perfect Father, the Father who is sinless.
And, Dave, I'll tell you what, I run into a lot of Christian leaders, pastors, fathers, who won't honor their own fathers. And guess what happens to the people they lead?
They dishonor them.
That's right. That's right. Their own children cannot find it in their hearts to honor their own fathers because they sit there in the around the table and they cut down their own father or they cut down the elders in the church before their own families. I see this all very, very often. And the end result, their sons rebel against them. I've seen it again and again and again and again. And they come back to me and say, why did my son rebel? I said, because for the last 20 years out of your life, you have spoken dishonorably about your own father. Everybody knows about how messed up your father is. Everybody in the church knows how messed up your father is. Because you're dragging your father's sins all over the world for everybody to see. And it's no surprise at all that your own son will not honor you when he turns 17, 18, 19 years of age.
Kevin, by the root of bitterness, many are defiled. But the commandment that says honor your father and mother is tended with a blessing that you might live long upon the earth and it might go well with you. You have a choice here. Honor will bring a blessing. Bitterness will bring a curse. That's where we are, and we're wallowing in our bitterness. We're wallowing in our dishonor. We're teaching our sons to dishonor women because we don't honor our wives as the weaker vessels. We're teaching a nation to dishonor the authorities because we will not give honor to whom honor is due. That is God's authorities in our life, our mother and our father predominantly.
And Dave, it's not easy to honor your father and mother. In fact, as you get older, it seems to me you begin to see more of your parents' sins. You begin to see their mistakes with more clarity. And if they get senile, well, now you're going to have even more struggles honoring them, you know. But still, the Bible says, honor your father and mother. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus says, and that I expect you to do it all the way into your parents' old age when they can't even take care of themselves. You need to do aught for your parents in their old age, says Jesus in Matthew 15. You need to get involved. And, you know, people come back and ask me from time to time, well, what if my parents are so disabled that I got to, you know, take them into the bathroom and give them a bath and change their diapers and this sort of thing? You know, how does that comport with Leviticus 18, where you're not to uncover your parents' nakedness? Well, I think that's a wonderful application, Dave, of this principle of honor. There it is. Another wonderful application of the principle of honor. Absolutely, you honor your father and mother. Well, Leviticus 18 also says don't uncover the nakedness of your sister. And there's a lot of kids out there, you know, changing their sister's diapers. We have examples of that throughout, you know, human experience. The point of the word gala or uncover in Leviticus 18 is to shamefully or disgracefully uncover. It's not just uncover. The idea of shameful disgrace is right there. So as you are taking care of your parents in their old age, honor them. Honor them, even if you're having to bathe them or something. I mean, you may have to just briefly uncover them, but the intent is always to cover again, much like the doctor is. The doctors who have to deal with these sorts of things where they uncover a patient for a short period of time, they're always, you know, there's always a blanket there or something right handy just to cover. I was just at the hospital a couple of weeks ago, and the doctor, the nurses said, okay, here's a blanket, you know, cover yourself here, and we need to look at you real quick, and then they cover you up. You know, right like that. And the whole idea is they are uncovering, and the intention is to recover. And the intention is always there. And so, Dave, what you have here is a heart issue. If a child is not honoring their mother and father and cannot find it in themselves to honor their mother and father, my guess is they probably should not have anything to do with their mother and father, certainly in taking care of them in their old age if they need to give them baths or something like that. Of course, you need to have a wonderful spirit of honor for your mother and father. Even when you have to change their diapers or do something of that sort in their failing years.
And speaking of recovering, we need to recover honor. Jesus gave us an example of washing feet. You know what? If you have to wash more than feet, consider that an honor.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that is the ultimate honor. That is the ultimate service. So if it comes down to that point where you have to change your parents' diapers, yeah, there, you could experience the ultimate honor of your mother and father, and do so with a heart that is filled with honor, and not a heart that wants to shamefully or disgracefully dishonor your mother or father. And again, that is the example that Shem and Japheth gave at the very beginning there with Noah. And it is also an example presented by Canaan and Ham, who would not honor their father in his drunken state. So again, folks, be very careful to cover your parents' shame. Be very careful to cover their sinfulness, and don't drag it out for the world to see. In the meantime, honor your father and your mother. And as we wrap up the program now, folks, I'd like to recommend some resources for you in retrieving this concept of honor in the days of your own family. And let me recommend Vision Forum's production, League of Grateful Sons. That's one of the most inspiring videos I have ever watched on the return of honor in the 21st century. It's called The League of Grateful Sons. It's a DVD from Vision Forum. You can get it at our resource center in Parker. Just simply call 877-842-CHECK, and you can pick up that DVD, The League of Grateful Sons. And I think your family will be inspired to return to this honor of the fathers. Again, that's The League of Grateful Sons. You can get it at checkbooks.com, checkbooks.com on the web. That's checkbooks.com. Or just go to our office in Parker or call 877-842-CHECK. And you can interact with this program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we cast a vision for the next generation.